Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Hello, everybody. It's podcast time.
Is it?
It's about to go down.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I suppose I better figure out something to talk about.
I believe in you, buddy.
Good.
I know you can do it.
It's tough.
You're always so good at recalling. I don't give you paper at all. You just recall these off the top of your head.
I do. I scratch them into my flesh. And it's really hard because I then have to erase it
right.
Each episode.
You're very good. You're getting good at scarification.
Yeah, it's really difficult to re-scar a scar.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is an art.
It is.
And I'm sure one day it'll be all the rage. The kids will be doing it.
It's just they're going to have layers and layers of scar tissue.
Yep.
There'll be more scar than human.
That's right. But it's almost like an armor at a point.
It is. It is. I'm certain at one point in my upper arm you could shoot me and it would just bounce off.
Wow.
That's pretty wild.
Well, you let me know when you want to test that theory, buddy.
I will.
All right.
So I got a movie.
No shit.
According to my left arm.
Hey.
It's from 2008.
Okay.
And it's called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Oh, this is a sad, isn't it?
This is a sad.
Oh, okay. I'm ready to be sad.
We watched this in March of 2021. Third. So 3-3-2-1.
Whoa.
To be exact.
Whoa.
1 hour and 34 minutes is this film, and it is a drama directed by Mark Herman, starring the Asia Butterfield, the Vera Faraminga, and the David Thewlis. The summary for this film is, through the innocent eyes of Bruno, the 8-year-old son of a commandant at the German concentration camp, a forbidden friendship with a Jewish boy on the other side of the camp fence has startling and unexpected consequences.
I'm sure it's got consequences for sure.
It really does. So this film is a tough one for me too. This one, of all the films that I did, and behind the curtain look, we do several of these in one clip.
That's right.
And this one, of all the films that I prepped for our recording, was the hardest for me to evaluate.
Okay.
So this film is about a boy who befriends a young Jewish boy, and he's German, so he's living in a house right in front of this concentration camp.
Oh, goodness.
And the boy is a young Jewish prisoner who is being forced to work in the concentration camp. And the young boy is too young to understand exactly what's going on. And so they become friends and things go really poorly. So what is tough for me to evaluate about this film, and it's based on a book. This feels like a book that you would give to kids in high school probably.
Okay.
But this is a movie that to me felt a little heavy-handed. Like I knew what was going to happen. I kind of knew what was like I knew immediately what was going on. I knew where the film was largely going to go. I didn't expect the ending per se, but I did know where it was going. And it is dark, this movie. So it's not really for kids. Like I would not be okay showing this to a kid who's like 10 to 13 maybe, but maybe as you get a little older, like sophomore, junior in high school might be the right age for this. So 14, okay. 15 years old might be correct as they've learned a little bit more about the Holocaust and World War II, and they can kind of understand the horrors that happened a little bit. This helps bring them to light, but it's not really for kids. And the way it rolls out, it's pretty obvious and a little melodramatic for an adult viewer. Okay. So the audience on this one seems very narrow to me. Like it has a tough time tonally trying to figure out who this movie's for.
Interesting.
So it was really hard for me to evaluate, because if I evaluate it as me, the movie viewer, it's like I'd say it's a little melodramatic and it's a little obvious and, you know what I mean, a little plotting and its execution to get there. But a younger viewer might not see all that coming. And sure. I could see a younger audience, an even younger audience participant, being overwhelmed by what they were seeing because it's so surprisingly dark for being told through the lead character being an 8-year-old.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's definitely a movie you have to kind of see to evaluate. Everybody in terms of performance is great. The direction's nice and subtle. It really doesn't get in its way. It's not stylized and slick. It's sparse and tells the story the way it should be told. So everything feels correct. It just, I don't know as though the tone, the way it presents it, it may be true to the book. I'm not sure, but it is a grim, grim film.
I don't know how many times I've looked at this movie and I go, I just can't.
It's rough.
I just don't want to be sad.
It's sad.
Then there's just no way. You just look at that cover and you're like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
It is a very sad, especially towards the end.
Right.
IMDb gives this a 7.8 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 143, give it 64%.
Okay.
Audience, 100,000 plus, give it an 85%.
We're kind of all over the place.
All over the place. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So it loses points, like I said, for being a little melodramatic, being a little bit predictable, and a little bit plotty. Mm-hmm. But the performances are good. The direction's good. The story is really solidly told and feels authentic and unforgiving. I just have trouble placing who the hell I'd recommend this movie to.
Yeah. It's almost like you want to shock somebody and be like, this is kind of what it was. And
right. Yeah, yeah. It's like if you're learning about the, like, we're learning about the Holocaust, kids, prepare to have your guts torn out.
Right. Whenever it's something real world and it is dark and heavy like that, it is hard to really get somebody to see the horrors, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, we can tell you till we're blue in the face, but till you see it,
right,
it's just a whole other level.
Yeah, it's really a tough movie to evaluate. So if you really want dark and honest look at what, you know what I mean, learning a lesson, don't show it to too young of a kid, though, seriously.
Yeah, that sounds rough.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you need a drink after that one, Max.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my movie is from 2018. It's a documentary. It's called Neat.
Neat.
The Story of Bourbon.
I see.
Yeah, you see what I did there?
Neat.
That's right. August 19th, 2021. Your IMDb minutes, an hour 15 documentary. Directed by David Outrogue. Starring Freddie Johnson, Marianne Barnes, and Jimmy Russell. Your IMDb movie summary, Neat dives into the rich and storied world of bourbon, exploring its colorful history, charismatic characters, and uniquely American process. The film is a celebration of the artistry that makes America's only native spirit.
Mm.
Pretty cool movie. It tells you that it goes into the history, which I don't know a ton about, but a lot of the origin of bourbon. Back in the day in England, you would farm and whatever you didn't use for your family with your corn would go to the king.
Right.
We're in America now. We keep our corn.
Yeah.
They're like, well, my corn going to go bad, but what won't go bad if I turn it into a booze?
Yep.
And it'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
So they go over the whole thing. They talk to a lot of the people in Kentucky that are making it. It's really thorough documentary.
There's a lot of laws governing it too, like how much corn actually has to be used before it's considered just a whiskey and not a bourbon.
It's super interesting.
Yeah, it's really wild.
The history is super interesting. It talks of how bourbon is aged in a manner that the people who make the batches aren't likely to try their own personal batch more than twice in their lifetime because it takes so long for the process.
Right.
So they'll try it once and then maybe like in their 50s or 60s, they could try it again, but they aren't as likely to get a third batch.
Right. Which
is wild.
Yeah. Crazy to think about.
So how cool is it like to have a party like, we're going to try my shit. Hope it's good.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
If not, I wasted a lot of my life.
30, 40 years. I'll try again.
Yeah.
That's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
And the historical side of bourbon is very interesting. The whole corn thing and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot. I feel like as far as a movie standpoint, the kind of, like you had said earlier on another one, you had said that it's kind of like I say a thing and somebody else reaffirms it. And it's like, there's a little of that in here. So I feel like it loses a couple points.
Sure.
But it really drives home and they get some heavy hitters for people in the bourbon industry. So it's pretty cool. And you even get people like, my daddy worked here, my granddaddy worked here. Sure. You get like those kind of stories.
I love that.
But bourbon is a huge thing in Kentucky. I've been to Kentucky. It is very true.
Yeah.
And I love bourbon. So I like all whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
So not a ton to talk about on this one, but I got to tell you, it's very interesting, if not for anything else, the historical side of it.
Absolutely.
IMDb, 7.6. Rotten Tomato critics, there's only one critic, so it does not have an official score. The audience, less than 50 people, 100%.
Love that.
They're drunks.
Somebody say bourbon?
I don't believe any movie should be 100% ever.
I don't think that's correct.
No?
No, I don't think so. Even Ghostbusters is not a perfect film.
Right.
I'll give it a 9.9.
Yeah.
But if there's some, you know what I mean, there's going to be a thing wrong. There's going to be a flaw somewhere, so...
It always needs a flaw or two.
That's right.
I gave it a 6. My wife gave it a 4.5.
Interesting.
She kind of felt like it was dragging a little bit. It was interesting, just not like consistently enough for her. But I was all in on that. I love learning.
Right.
You know, because I'm pretty dumb and I want to be less dumb.
That's right.
So, you know, one day maybe.
More bourbon.
More bourbon. Kill the dumb.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Speaking of killing dumb, 1986.
Yes.
The best year there is.
That's right.
I watched Highlander.
What? What?
Yes, I watched this on March 9th, 2021. It is 1 hour, 50 minutes. It's an adventure film.
Sure is.
Directed by Russell McCauley. Starring Christopher Lambert, Sean Connery, and Clancy fucking Brown. I fucking love Clancy Brown.
I do too.
He is awesome.
He does a lot of voice acting now.
He is so great. He's got a great voice. Sure. He's awesome. This film is about an immortal Scottish swordsman who must confront the last of his immortal opponents, a murderously brutal barbarian who lusts for the fabled prize.
Bum, bum, bum.
There can be only one, Tim.
There can only be one.
So,
I don't know why there's multiple actors in here. There can only be one.
Right. It's just Christopher Lambert.
That's right.
So, this movie, I remember enjoying this film.
Okay.
And then going back to revisit it, I still enjoy it. I love how cheesy and absurd it is.
Sure.
But what I did dislike that I don't remember is how clunkily paced this movie is.
Interesting.
This is supposed to be so if somebody said Max pre-March of 2021, what's Highlander about? Oh, it's about these fucking immortal dudes who can sword fight and they have to kill each other because only one can be the Highlander.
Yep.
And they just, what's in the movie? There's Clancy Brown, there's Christopher Lambert, and there's sword fighting and murder everywhere.
Right.
This movie is more like a shitload of exposition trying to explain the concept of what Highlander is.
Okay.
Sean Connery dressed in a ridiculous outfit.
But not Zardoz ridiculous.
Not Zardoz revealing.
Sure.
But ridiculous.
Okay.
And some sword fighting.
Interesting. This is going to make me ask the question, was Cliff right?
What is Cliff's...
Cliff did not like this movie at all.
So I wouldn't say that he's right in that he, like, disliking the movie at all is fair.
But you think we kind of watch it a little...
I think nostalgic. We watch it with rose-colored glasses on, for sure.
Okay.
It definitely has so much exposition that drags so tremendously long. The action scenes aren't all that fantastic. There's a few really cool ones, like the opening sword fight and stuff are actually kind of cool set pieces that are really interesting and fun to watch. But if they had just ramped up the sword stuff, toned down the exposition a little bit, it would have been such a more interesting film to watch and behold.
Those are heavy swords, man.
Whew. They are. And Clancy Brown's just worth the price of admission alone.
Always.
He's just insane as the Kurgan. He's just, you can tell he's just having a fucking blast. Like, he's like, I'm getting paid to run around like a lunatic in this film. It's terrific. It's really fun, but it has a lot more issues than I remember it having as a youth.
Right.
I mean, then there was the Highlander series, if you recall, on USA. And I was like, that, I think that was like my entry point into it because I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was like, I need to figure out what this is. So I told my dad about it. He's like, oh, we'll watch Highlander. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's watch Highlander. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, just doesn't quite hold up. If it really did put more emphasis and more care into the action scenes, I really think it could be one of my more like favorite go-to movies.
Right.
Especially like B-style ridiculous bullshit movie.
We need those movies. Those movies got us to, you know, your John Wicks and other things today.
Absolutely.
It's a stepping stone, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's nothing wrong with having fun at the movie.
Yeah,
like, sure. It's just, what's the premise? This is immortal swords people fight across time. What?
Yeah, and one of them's Raiden.
Yeah, there's like, all right, sure, go for it, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, as long as another Raiden can be James Reamer.
Sure. Eventually.
Yeah.
But there can only be one.
That's right. So, you know what I mean? Just a little bit of a letdown, I'd say, but so much fun. The Queen soundtrack, of course, crushes it.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's a blast of a movie. It's just not as much of a blast as you'd want it to be.
Interesting.
IMDb gives this a 7.1 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 37 of them give it 70%. Audience, 100,000 plus, give it 79%.
Okay.
And I'm coming in under everybody else at a 6 out of 10.
I mean, that's still good.
Still good. Still a fun movie. I think if you go in knowing you're going to watch a movie, it's going to be a little clunky. Maybe you have a couple drinks to get you through the lean times.
Sure.
You'll have fun.
Nice.
You'll have a good time.
And you should be watching movies to have fun.
Yeah, let's just have fun. It doesn't do anything weird or rapey, which is unusual for an 80s film.
That's true. They love that shit in the
80s. They do, yeah. Very all about strange. That. Yeah.
Well, this movie isn't rapey.
Good.
This movie from 2019 got nominated for Best Picture, I believe.
Wow.
Sound of Metal.
Metal.
Oh, yeah, girl, woman. I watched it on August 27th of 2021. It is 2 hours flat.
Oh.
Yes. Drama music. Directed by Darius Marder, starring Riz Ahmed, Olivia Cooke, and Paul Raichi. Reiki? I'm not sure how that's pronounced. IMDb movie summary. A heavy metal drummer's life is thrown into free fall when he begins to lose his hearing. Are you familiar with this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this movie?
Mm-mm.
Okay. This movie's pretty good.
Nice.
It is tough. It's very moving, but it is tough. I believe it won for like sound engineering or sure. whatever, and it absolutely should.
Nice.
You watch this movie and you feel like you're losing your hearing.
Wow.
The way they play with where you can hear things where you can't, there's humming.
Oh, cool.
And you watch him and they do a lot of scenes where he's just, and he's a very good, he's, I don't know if this guy, I don't know how they could have faked it. This guy was drumming pretty good. The last beats, their music's terrible, but like he is going to town on these drums, and then like you lose it a little bit, and like he's watching the lead singer, he's watching her, and he's just like trying to keep the time, and he's starting to realize that he's not hearing it right.
Sure.
And the thing that is unique about it is he kind of drastically starts losing his hearing.
Oh wow.
And it's like they have to cancel it, they have to postpone a tour, like they already got dates going. Shit. They're like, you know, a shitty opening band traveling in like a camper.
Yeah.
But like they're on their way up, they're doing it right, they're doing the adventure of music.
Mm-hmm.
And they're an item as well. It's just the two of them in the band.
Okay.
Riz Ahmed is very good in this movie, and there are some really, really hard scenes to get through because he ends up going to this place with a gentleman who is deaf. He's like reads lips and whatnot. He's like, sure. I will teach you sign language. I will help you. I will get you. And it's almost like this giant campus almost for people who are hearing impaired.
Oh, wow.
And they get real people who have hearing issues, whether deaf or not. And there's like classrooms with kids that he's in learning the sign, all this stuff. But like he also kind of wants to get a procedure done so he can hear a little bit.
Right.
And it's like that kind of goes against everything that they're teaching at this place. They're sure. like, if you're here, it's because you don't view this as a disability.
Right.
I like how I'm doing a lot of hand things while I'm talking about this. you can't view this as a disability. Like,
right.
That surgery kind of goes against the point of all this.
Right.
And so he's struggling with what he wants to do. He feels further and further from his girlfriend because he's kind of like stuck on this place. She really can't be with him
right.
while he's doing this. And he is a weird mix of like kind of he's not a shitty person, but he definitely freaks out too much.
Sure.
And he makes weirder decisions where it's like, if you just took a breath.
Right.
It might have been okay.
Sure. Which is relatable, I think.
Absolutely. I thought this was a great performance by him because he absolutely, you teeter back and forth where you're like, oh man, I feel his pain. And then you're like, ah, you're kind of an asshole.
Right.
So I really love the use of the other deaf characters, people who clearly were so excited to be a part of this movie and to work with him. And that's about it. Yeah, this movie was pretty good. It's a weird one to get through, but the sound design and the way you hear things, it drives you nuts that you feel like you're going deaf.
That's cool.
It is so incredibly interesting. So IMDb gave it a 7.8. The Rotten Tomato critics, 275 of them, gave it a 97%.
Wow.
That feels pretty correct to me. That's like,
that's awesome.
They believe that. The audience gave it 90%.
Wow.
1,000 plus. And I give it an 8 out of 10.
Damn.
The movie is solid. I don't know if it's everybody's cup of tea. You got to get through the opening scenes where you hear the band play.
Right.
You're going to wish you were deaf. But besides that, it's pretty good.
Nice.
So yeah, this is the sound of the end of the episode. Click.